Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
Well, I wonder, would we rather have Jesus than anything else? Young people, sixth grade and below, I want to commend you for those that were here during Sunday school. Y'all did a good job listening to the old pastor teach Sunday school. You are released to junior church now, sixth grade and below. Enjoy your time together there. For the rest of us this morning, would you take your Bibles and go in the book of Malachi? The book of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. To the last chapter, Malachi chapter 4. The book of Malachi, chapter number 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 for our text this morning. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Ye shall tread down the wicked. They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. What an interesting verse. Verse number 2. What an interesting title. God says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. Not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. I want to bring a message this morning entitled, What is the Son? What is the Son? And I want you to consider this with me because we have sort of taken what our church did in the early days, the scripture, I'll kind of go through some of this actually, the scripture by which we got our name and so on, and we've just sort of taken it a little bit further, and the tagline of our church is now, let the sun shine in. When we say let the sun shine in, we're not talking about the S-U-N, we're talking about the S-O-N. But isn't it interesting here that God makes this personal title here, this personal pronoun we see here, not the little son, the Son of Righteousness, but the big S, the Son of Righteousness. And so we'll speak for a few minutes on that topic. What is the Son? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for all that you've done already in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school lesson. Thank you for reminding us at how great our God truly is, being the founder and the framer and the former of all things. And I pray, Lord, once again, we will be able to sort of sit back in awe of the majesty of our God. And Lord, thank you for these types and symbols that you give so that we can have somewhat of a glimpse of the greatness of Almighty God and the greatness of God the Son of God. And so speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, help us to understand these truths. Lord, help us to never be like those that are around the world, which, Lord, I feel sorry for them. And those in times gone by that have worshipped the creature rather than the Creator. May we know again and be reminded again as to what it means to worship the Creator of all things. Lord, help us to realize how that we can be reconciled, to be in relationship with the Creator as well. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for the 40 plus years that you've given us to have a place in this local community that we can come and assemble and be the pillar and ground of truth in our area. Help us, Lord, to continue to fulfill that. And I pray if there is somebody here in our midst that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that today they'll realize that need. And they'll come and be willing, Lord, to repent and receive the gift of eternal salvation. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at some scripture this morning because I want to be able to walk you through why I believe God calls this person, why I believe He calls him the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. Now, I want you to know first and foremost that there is a day coming, a specific day, the Bible speaks about it very often, known as the Day of the Lord. And it really is the day where the Lord is going to wrap up human history. He's going to wrap up even time itself ultimately. And He's going to set everything right again. When He created everything in the beginning and God said over and over again, it was good and it was very good. But then the Bible says that sin entered the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. In Romans chapter 8, we find out about the corruption, the curse that has taken place upon creation as a result of sin and all the things that have come about as a result of that. And every time I walk out around our property here, around the building, I've got a few now on my own personal property there at the house and here, there, in this, especially this southern region of the United States, and I have to deal with those sand burrs. I'm reminded of the curse that's upon creation. And we have to work hard, especially in the South, to be able to get nice green grass to grow. And you got to water that stuff and you got to treat it and all of that. But those sand burrs, boy, once they get going, they just go forever, endlessly. We have a youth football team that our church has as a ministry. And we have a field that we practice on right down here at the hub of Midwest City called Regional Park. And the field on which we practice, we lovingly call it now the sticker field. And everybody knows we're going to meet on the sticker field. It keeps us tough. But I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1, and I want to walk through this with you this morning. What is the sun? You know, scientists try very, very hard, and I'm thankful for those that have a scientific mind to tell us the intricacies of God's creation. And it's amazing as I read about what they say, what the scientists say about the sun, the things that they know and the things that they do not know. One of the things that stands out to me about the sun that we'll read about here in just a second is, as I understand it, there really is no surface like we have here on earth, a ground or rock, a hard surface on which to put our feet. There is no surface of the sun as far as something firm and solid. It's really quite tremendous. And so then you begin to ask yourself, well, what in the world is the sun? Exactly. I want us to see what God says about it. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 14. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them, these lights, be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God said, set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So we see here that God created these lights. Now, light itself had already been created. And it was interesting as I read about this, even some of the creation scientists and the way that they view these things. Isn't it interesting that God had already created light several days before He creates these greater light and lesser light and even the stars? In other words, God did not have to rely on the sun or the moon or the stars for light. He had already spoken it into existence. But primarily, it is a huge light bulb. We'll say a little bit more about that in just a second. But I want you to go now with me to Revelation chapter number 3. What is the sun? And why do we say at Open Door Baptist Church, let the sun shine in? Revelation chapter number 3, this is the passage by which we got our name as a local assembly. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 7. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. I want you to notice that. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Well, here's our verse. This is the means by which we got our name, Open Door Baptist Church. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, I want to stop here just a second and let you know there are many, many Bible theologians that believe that these seven churches actually represent seven periods of history in the history of humankind. And that this Philadelphia church age actually is symbolic of the age that will precede the final age, the final 1,000 years. We may be even living in that age now, that Laodicean age where folks turn away of their ears from the truth and they're turned unto fables. And God gives us a sort of a picture and a format for how things are going to look. Before Jesus comes, that day of the Lord that we read about in Malachi chapter number 4. And He begins to make all things right again. He says to this group, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Verse number 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make, notice, a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. I love that song. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so we think about this Open Door Baptist Church, and we think about this Church of Philadelphia and the things that God says to this church. I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. We know that there are adversaries. We know that there are enemies of the church. We know that the world and the flesh and the devil, they're not just against us as individuals. They're against us even as a church. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Open Door Baptist Church, why are we here? What are we doing here? Why do we have as our tagline, let the sun shine in? Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want you to notice that. Up in verse number 13, he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? In verse number 16, Simon Peter answers, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of the living God. Son of Man and the Son of God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Remember what he said to the church of the Philadelphia? I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. What has God done with every local New Testament biblical church in this world? He has set us up as a representative of himself, and he's given such power and authority to his church, so that even decisions that are made in and through the local church based on the Word of God, the written Word of God, God says, I put my stamp upon those things. Turn to one other passage, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Say, what all does this have to do with the Son? Well, I'm trying to get you to understand this morning, get you to realize and see why we say we trust, we even put it on our church voicemail, we trust that every man, woman, boy, or girl that has any interaction with Open Door Baptist Church, we trust that they'll allow the Son to shine into their life. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. We know as a church that God would have us to be the pillar and the ground of truth, to be able to hold up truth in our society so that anybody that is looking for truth can come to us and we can present to them the truth of the Word of God. God has entrusted that to us as a local church. So when we say that we trust that you'll allow the sun to shine in, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the S-U-N? Oh, no, friend, we're talking about the S-O-N. But why is it that God calls him in Malachi chapter number 4 the Son of Righteousness, the S-U-N of righteousness? I want to give you four things this morning, but I want to mention something to you. I had one of the young people come up to me after Sunday school, and he talked about the size of the sun. I could tell science was on his brain. And he said, I read somewhere that like a million Earths can fit in the sun. I said, you know, I've read the exact same thing. How awesome is that? But I want to put it in some other terms this morning when we consider what is the sun and how large is the S-U-N anyway? Well, scientists have said if you picture a 10-pound bowling ball. How many of you like to go bowling? Any bowlers in the room today? All right, I do too. If you picture a 10-pound bowling ball, the size of that, and then you put beside that 10-pound bowling ball one nickel and one penny, the nickel and the penny represent everything else in the entire solar system. Compared to the 10-pound bowling ball, which is the sun. Jupiter, it is said, makes up the nickel. So that means everything else, including the Earth, is the penny in comparison to that bowling ball. So what we know then is that the sun, we can call it a big ball. And so we're going to give you four things about what exactly is the sun this morning. Number one, I want you to notice that the sun is a big ball of fire. A big ball of fire. Notice, if you would, Revelation chapter 16. Turn over there with me, if you would. Revelation chapter number 16, verses 8 and 9. This is a time of tribulation that is going to be coming upon the world soon and very soon. The Bible paints this picture about these angels that are pouring out these vials of judgment. Notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. The sun this morning, I want you to know, is a big ball of fire. You say, well, how exactly can we really quantify this big ball of fire? Well, I'll try to help you this morning. We found out a little while ago that at the core of the earth, we have about 30,000 degrees concerning the temperature there in the core of the earth. The core of the sun, scientists say, is 24 million degrees. 24 million degrees. Scientists simply refer to it as an atomic bomb. I want you to notice what Hebrews chapter 12, though, says about our God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28. If the S-U-N sun is a big ball of fire, notice what God says about Himself. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, thank God, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Notice this, for our God is a consuming fire. Now I want you to notice something this morning. The sun, and we'll get to this passage in the book of Colossians that the Bible says created all things. The S-O-N, He's the one, the Bible says, that has created this big ball of fire, all 24 million degrees at its core. 93 million miles away. And we've heard the commentary on this. If it was just a little bit closer, we'd all burn up. If it was just a little bit further away, we'd all freeze to death. But thank God He has placed the sun exactly where it is and for its exact purpose. I want you to go to the book of 2 Peter now, chapter 3, thinking about this big ball of fire. 2 Peter chapter 3. What is the sun? Well, we find in the first place that it's a big ball of fire. 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. By the way, folks, one of the reasons we come to church consistently is to be reminded about the things that God has said so that we can be stirred up. And our natural way is to get cold. The Bible talks about men loving darkness rather than light, and the coldness that comes with a person's love as a result of that. And you and I, as believers, we're apt to get cold throughout the week. And so God says, go get together and get stirred up. Be reminded about the things that I've said to you, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming, the day of the Lord? Malachi chapter 4. Where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, why have You not come? Why have You not set everything straight again? The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that one should perish. The Bible goes on to say, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Can you imagine? Everything on this entire earth's surface, every tree, every building, every vehicle, every house, everything in one instant burned up, melting with fervent heat. You say, how exactly is the Lord going to do that? Well, I think maybe the sun is going to be involved in wiping this earth talking about a big ball of fire this morning. But number two, what is the sun? It's a big ball of light. God tells us in the book of Genesis that the greater light was to rule the day. And it really does. Boy, all the things that the sun ultimately does, we really are, as an earth, subservient to it. I mean, just think, if the sun did not rise, if it did not do its job, where would we be? So it's a big ball of light. And when we think about light, I look over at the book of John. Go there with me if you would, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. What is the sun anyway? A big ball of fire, a big ball of light. John chapter number 1 helps us with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or did not envelop it. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe he was not that light, this man named John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. Notice, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Can you see the ruling power of the S-U-N, Son? There's no place in the globe that you can go where the Son does not rule. And we read in John chapter number 1, this light of the world, whose name is the Word, He lights every man that comes into the world. That means no man, no woman, no boy, no girl has an excuse. I did not know. God said, I've given you light in Jesus Christ. John chapter number 3, verse number 16, we know the verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Friend, hear me this morning. God doesn't want you to go through that horrible tribulation period. God doesn't want you to have to receive of those vials that are going to be poured out if you remain and if you're still alive during that time. God doesn't want you to perish. God didn't send His Son, the Son of Man, the Son of God, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, John 3:18. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. You better watch this. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And just like the thief and the criminal love the darkness because they're not able to be seen for what they're doing, sinners love darkness, spiritually speaking. They don't want to come to the light. But we thank God for a big ball of light called the sun, the S-U-N. And for this light that we've read about, the S-O-N. He's a big. It is a big ball of fire. It's a big ball of light. It's a big ball of energy. When we think about solar power, when we think about photosynthesis, the way that God has created our world and these things work together, but the sun is a big part of allowing things to have energy to be able to grow and come forth so that we can eat and be sustained. What an amazing mass of energy the sun is. We think about what God told us. For instance, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, what did Jesus say? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. God has given us His authority and His power to be able to go forward. We as believers ought to be energized. We as a church ought to be energized, that life may go forth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Witnesses unto me. What is the S-U-N but a witness unto Him? The heavens declare the glory of God. And the sun comes up on a daily basis, and it's witnessing to us, there's something greater. You may not be able to see with your physical eyes, but oh, He's there. What is the sun? A big ball of fire, a big ball of light, a big ball of energy. But I love this last point. What is the sun? Well, it's a big ball of life. It's a big ball of life. John chapter 1, verse 4. In Him was life. Look at Colossians chapter 1 as we close this morning. Colossians chapter number 1. A big ball of life. Can you imagine what this world would be like without the sun? The S-U-N. It would literally be uninhabitable. But life can go forth and remain as a result of the sun. Colossians chapter number 1. Notice verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, thank the Lord, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Without Him, nothing else can exist. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist or adhere or hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He's got first place. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Now notice verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. It's not just the S-U-N that provides life. It is the S-O-N that provides eternal life. You see, when man was in the garden and sin came in, and there was a separation between man and God as a result, God already had a plan before the foundation of the world to send this great mediator by the name of Jesus Christ so that man could be reconciled again to God. We can have life, not just physical life that the Son is so instrumental in providing for us, but eternal life, a life never ending with our Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You say we are mortal beings. We are finite beings. We have a death date, and we do, physically speaking, but the person who's been born again into the family of God, we've got immortality to look forward to. Because of this big ball of life that we're talking about this morning. So what is the sun? Well, it's a big ball of fire. It's a big ball of light. It's a big ball of energy. It's a big ball of life. You know, we have a choice to make. Psalm chapter number 2. It's very interesting what God says to us in the last verse. Psalm 2:12. kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now we can choose to kiss the Son. This is an old-fashioned, we're here on Founders Sunday, this sort of old-fashioned Sunday, and that old-fashioned way of greeting was kissing. Obviously, it means something a little different in our culture, but really just a kiss on the cheek or on the forehead would be a normal means of greeting in those days. And God says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. In other words, greet the Son. Be willing to go to the Son, lest he perish from the way. And the Son, being this big ball of fire and light and energy and life, you say, why does God call it the Son, the S-U-N of righteousness in Malachi chapter number 4? The S-U-N is just a representation of the S-O-N. The S-O-N, he's so much greater. He's the one that created the S-U-N. He says, if you'll come to terms with this Son, it can be a source of healing. Malachi chapter number 4, when you kiss the Son and you greet the Son and you're willing to come to Him and repent of your own way and your own works and your own righteousness and come to the Son of Man, the Son of God, who gave His life, who shed His blood to abolish death that we might have life immortal. When we come to Him, He can be a source of life to us. But if we refuse to go to Him, then we've got to deal with the ramifications of the Son and its judgment. Ultimately, God wants the S-O-N to be that source of healing. You know, Revelation 21 and 22 speak of a day. Can you fathom it? God says there will be no need for the Son. Can you fathom that? No need. The Son will simply disappear. There will be no more need. And Jesus, He will be the light. Oh, friend, we don't even know. We can't even imagine just how great and how marvelous and how awesome and how wonderful God the Son of God, the Son of Man is. And God says, this S-U-N, it's just a representation. Come to Him. Otherwise, receive of His judgment. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never come to the Son. You've never realized that He hung on that old rugged cross and shed His blood on your behalf. You never realized the gift of eternal life that He's offering to you. That if you're willing to forsake your own way and forsake your sin and forsake your own a sense of self-righteousness and trust Jesus and Him alone, that He will come together with you and you can have a relationship with Him for all eternity. Friend, I pray that you will come to terms with the Son this morning. What is the Son? Well, it's merely a representation of the Son, the S-O-N. By the way, that's the reason why we don't worship the S-U-N. We don't bow down to the S-U-N because there's somebody much greater that created it. His name is the Son of God. He is the Son of righteousness. He's got healing for what ails us, but we've got to be willing to come to Him. And I wonder if you haven't already, if you will today. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let the Son shine in.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.